Yes, Lord, we're just before you tonight.
Amen.
We're open to you.
Amen.
As the head of the body.
Amen.
We're holding the head.
Amen.
We're honoring you as the head.
Amen.
And we're asking that you would speak.
Amen.
Speak from your heart.
Amen.
Into your church.
Amen.
Lord, this burden concerning our next generation.
Amen.
We believe this is out from you.
Amen.
So we return this burden to you.
Amen.
We just say amen, Lord. To your desire,
amen.
What you want to do in the church,
amen.
And in the churches,
amen.
Today,
amen.
For your own testimony's sake.
Amen.
We just tell you that we are open.
Amen.
We thank you for this gathering.
Amen.
We believe this whole weekend is out from you.
Amen.
And we pray every part would be through you,
amen.
And unto you.
Amen.
We present ourselves to you, Lord.
Amen.
We're the vessels before you. Cleansed by your precious blood.
Amen.
And open to be filled.
Amen.
To be dispensed into.
Amen.
All weekend long.
Amen.
We love you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Saints, tonight I could summarize my burden, I think, in just one word. I think it'd be easy for you to get that word from the outline. And it is just this. Just this. Vessels. That's my burden. My burden, we will use this outline, but my burden is not to cover this outline. My burden is vessels.
Amen.
Of course, the burden of this outline is vessels. That's why I presented it to you. We may not cover all the points. Please don't be bothered by that. All the points here. But I do hope that you are left with a kind of impression. The matter of our children, our second and third generation, is all a matter of their being vessels. They are vessels of mercy. They're vessels unto honor, and they're vessels unto glory. Every one of them is a vessel. And there is a battle over these vessels. I'd like to bring that out through some of the verses that we're going to read. I would like to, at the beginning, read several verses on this matter of vessels with you. I was deciding, should I just have the brothers do as we usually do, to do the scripture reading, you know, before, or shall I go through this with you? And I felt, it's probably better this time. Let us read this together, and we make some comments as we go along, right? So here in your scripture reading, you do have some of the verses at the end of the first line and at the beginning of the second line. The verses here in the scripture reading from Ephesians 3 and Genesis 2, they actually show us how we are created for God's eternal purpose. Of course, this, I believe, is common knowledge to all of us here. We are created for God's purpose, right? Every human being has a definite purpose. But it was with this in view, and that's what the first few points of this outline bring out, with God's purpose in view, to have an expression, a corporate expression, which is summarized in Genesis 1, verse 26, with these two words, image and dominion. With this in view, he created man as a vessel. Why? Because his intention, that corporate man in Genesis 1, that purpose is accomplished by the way of dispensing. And it is his desire to dispense himself into that vessel. So he creates the vessel in Genesis 1, and then he puts the vessel before the tree of life to show, actually, he wants to dispense himself into that vessel. That's Genesis 1, Genesis 2. What do you see there? You might say image and dominion. But tonight I would say vessel and dispensing. That's Genesis 1 and 2. Vessel, dispensing. Then what? Genesis 3. What's Genesis 3? Satan comes in. To do what? To fill the vessel first. In a sense, you could say Satan beat God to it. He did what God wanted to do. God wants to dispense himself into the vessel. Satan came and dispensed first. So actually, Satan's tactic is also to fill the vessel. To fill the vessel. But to fill the vessel with anything but God. God's purpose is very simple, and that is to fill the vessel with nothing but God. Just God. Satan's purpose is to interrupt God's purpose. But how? To fill the vessel with anything and everything other than God. That's the battle over our children. That's the battle. But let's read some of the verses. Romans chapter 9. Let's read together. It's good for us to be freshly impressed with the word. Romans chapter 9. And I know that many of us here, we're familiar with these verses. But this is God's word. Let us breathe it in. Verses 21, 23, and 24. Romans chapter 9, verses 21, 23, and 24. Okay, let's go. Or does not the potter Amen. Vessels. Does not the potter have authority over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel unto honor? Vessel unto honor. And another unto dishonor. Then in verse 23. Vessels of mercy, which he had prepared unto glory. Even us. Amen. Not only the children, we are. We are what? Vessels of mercy. And we're vessels unto honor. And vessels what? Actually, prepared unto glory. Our destiny is to be a vessel filled with, expressing, overflowing glory. That's God's desire. Okay, another verse or another set of verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 6 and 7. Verse 6 and verse 7. Okay, let's read together. Amen. Interesting here. Actually, starting with verse 4, you see that the God of this age comes in to blind the thoughts of the unbelievers. What is his tactic? Actually, just to stop God's dispensing. God wants to shine into the hearts. That's what it says, right? He wants to shine into the hearts in verse 6. What is that? That's the filling of the vessel. We want that anyone who would come to our meeting, God would shine into their heart. Amen. Every gospel meeting, that's what we want. God would shine into their hearts. And then they would leave with a treasure in their earthen vessel. That's our gospel meeting, right? But the enemy, even in the gospel meeting, is battling, trying to, what? Oh, the God of the age, blind thoughts. What's that? It's just to cover the opening of the vessel. But not just the unbelievers. All our young people. All our children. We want that whenever they come to gather together, the Lord would shine in their hearts. And they would leave with more treasure in their vessel. But what's happening? Not just in the meeting. All week long, the God of the age is working. So when they come and they sit in our meeting, it's very possible. There's layers. They're sitting there. They don't look worldly, but the worldliness is not a matter of what they're doing. This is here what? Blind the thoughts. He does a work all week long. Through the world. We'll talk maybe more about this tomorrow. But we could have a 13-year-old boy sitting there. And he's going along with everything in your program, in your meeting. But inside he's thinking, I got to get back to my game. I only got to level 4. I want to get to level 5. You know that could be a thought, a blinding thought. That thought could cover. Anything wrong with that thought? That's not an evil thought. That's not a defiling thought. It's just a blinding thought. Let's not talk about the 13-year-old boys. Even we in the meeting, that never happened to you. You're in the meeting and going on. Every day he's dearer than he was the day before. Oh, I have a bill. How am I going to pay that bill? Oh, I can't believe I got that bill. I shouldn't have opened that mail right before coming to the meeting. It's dangerous. Some things you should have to learn. Don't do that right before coming to the meeting. Yeah. There's quite a number of things we should learn. Like you open the email, sometimes it's better. Don't update your email. Walking into the meeting. Don't do that. It's best don't do that. You know what happens? Or. Yeah. Just blocking. Blinding the thoughts and covering the opening. Okay. But this verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And here it's making a contrast. It's a wonderful treasure, but in an earthen vessel. Right? An earthen vessel. So it's somewhat putting the vessel down. Oh, the vessel's earthen, but the treasure is the value. But later on, I'd like to point out it's a different side. The vessel counts a lot. We need to take care of the vessel. We need to mold the vessel. We need to take care of our vessel, and then we need to take care of the little vessels that are given to us, and then we need to train them how to take care of their vessel. Another verse related to this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at this one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verses 3 and 4. 3 and 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 and 4. Let's read. Each one of you, meaning each one of us, we need to learn how to possess, that is, take charge of our vessel in sanctification and honor. And, saints, a great part of parenting is to train our children to possess their own vessel, to exercise full authority. That's possess. When it's something, when you possess something, it's yours. You have full say. So we need to help our children have full say over their vessel. Because Satan, with the mask of the world, is putting things into the vessel. Even through their teachers. Even through their teachers. You know, it's not that, oh, they're teachers. Oh, the world today, the teachers. And don't think, oh, they're so evil. No, no, no. That's certain people. They believe what they believe. And they think that's the right way. And they're trying to mold the youth in what they feel is the best way. And to be a teacher, to handle children at any level, whether it's the primary school, the secondary school, the university. You might say, oh, that's terrible. They spread their philosophies. But they're in their heart, they're trying to do this to better society. It's just that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And we need to train our children and we ourselves to what? Have a kind of psychological filter. What do I receive into my vessel? What do I receive? I have the final say what I receive in my vessel. I'm not just open for business to everyone and anyone. Some things I say no. Some things I filter. I receive the good part without the poison. We have to teach our children how to do this. And actually, how do you do this? And again, we'll come back to this point more tomorrow morning. Really, only one way, is that is spend time with them. And have many talks. You talk to them. You talk to them about this and that. And actually, also, not by talking, but just by doing. That is our living. And they're with us, and they see, and they observe, and they learn. By our pattern and our example. To the point where, whether they say or not, their attitude is, well, in my family, we just don't do that. In my family, we just don't do that. And it's not apologetic. It's not defensive. Nor is it offensive to, well, in my family, we just don't do that. And they know who they are. They know who they are, and they stand for what is proper. That's partly what this means, that each one may know how to possess his own vessel. You come to put something into my vessel, I say, whoa, what are you doing? Wait, no. This is my vessel. Go pour somewhere else. Not here. Not that. I still like you. I still respect you. But I just don't receive that. We need to possess our own vessel. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I think you may know which verses. Verses 21 and 22. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 21 and 22. Let's read together. If, therefore, you know, it's interesting. All these verses were written by the Apostle Paul. And he is the only one who talks about, in the epistles, vessels. He's the only one who wrote about vessels. Maybe it's because, maybe, in Acts 9, in his calling, the Lord himself said this word, vessel. To Ananias. I think you know the story, right? Paul saw the great light, was blinded, and then he was, wondering what's going on for a few days, and then the Lord appears to Ananias and say, go to this man. Oh, Lord. I think Ananias was, we know about him. Are you sure? Are you sure I should go to him? And he said, go, for he is a chosen vessel. I have no doubt that Ananias went to him and said, Paul, this, or actually, Saul, brother, when he first meets him, Saul, brother. Oh, what did it cost Ananias to say that? Saul, brother Saul, who's been killing Christians, but was cheering on when the others were killing Stephen, and who was imprisoning. Yeah, but he didn't say any of that. Yeah. You know, when you go to the saints, you got to forget what you know. Forget the past. Say, Saul, brother. And I'm sure he told him, the Lord told me, you are a chosen vessel. Oh, he must have pondered that. I'm a vessel. I'm not just an instrument. I'm not just a tool in the hand of God. But I'm a vessel. To what? Receive. Contain. And then, consequently, pour out. And keep receiving. And keep pouring. He must have gotten a kind of view, because he writes in so many places, vessel, vessel, vessel. Here, in a great house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but wooden and earthen, and some, again, unto honor. This is the third time that Paul mentions honor with the matter of vessel. Honor. Saints, we should be honorable vessels. Honorable. Our children should be honorable vessels. Vessels unto honor. Unto honor. But here, it says in 21, sorry, what I read was 20, right? 20. Yeah. In 21, if therefore anyone cleanses himself from these what? from the vessels unto dishonor. What is this? Well, this is building on 1 Thessalonians. This is possessing your vessel. This is knowing which other vessels you should associate with. You know, a great part of parenting is instilling in them the discernment which friends to choose, who to be with, who not to be with, who to distance yourself from, or who to be with, but filter, you don't just open yourself in the same way to everyone. That kind of discernment is a great part of our job in building them up to be a proper vessel. Sometimes you have to cleanse yourself from certain associations. I know I had to do this. I did this when I was a teenager. I knew I had to make a kind of a break. And through the years, young people have come to me, say, help me to do this. Help me to do this. It's good to have that sense. But what is this? This is taking charge of your vessel. Let's look at one portion in the Old Testament. Daniel. Daniel chapter 1. Verses actually 1 to 4, or the beginning of 4. I think we all know the story of Daniel. We teach the story to the children. This is a very good story to teach the children. There are a lot of things about Daniel that you could teach. Actually, it's not premature knowledge. You can teach them this story and teach them quite a number of things about how to be a proper human being. I don't have the time to get into that now. But you could inspire them to be a proper human being. But here, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. So this is, you know, this story of Daniel, when we tell the story, usually we start with later in Daniel that he's in Babylon, and he's offered the choice foods, right? And he purposes in his heart not to be defiled with the king's meat, right? But Daniel, right? And then he inspires his three friends, right? But this story, it's almost like if this were a movie, this would be I think they call it a prologue. Is that right? What goes before? A prologue. Sometimes they don't show the story. They just tell you the words, you know, what's going on. And, oh, if you miss that, or if you go late to the movie, you miss the background. So don't be late. I'm sorry. I'm not telling you don't go late to the meeting. I'm not sorry. I should be telling you don't go late to the meeting. Yeah. Don't misunderstand. I didn't tell them go to the movie. All I said was if they go, don't be late. Yeah, sorry. Anyway, you get my point. You miss it if you're late. It's bad character anyway. But there's something at the beginning. What is that? This. Nebuchadnezzar sent his army. And they went. Oh, look at this, verse 2. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, into his hand. With what? Some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Then the king told Ashpenaz, the chief of his eunuchs, to bring some of the sons of Israel including some from the royal seed and from the nobility, children. Children. Do you see this? In verses 1 and 2, it's talking about vessels. In verse 3 and verse 4, it's talking about children. Do you see this? Who were the vessels? Actually, the children. This, in these few verses here, show us Satan's plot. Take the vessels. Take the little vessels. Take the young vessels and bring them into his treasury house. For what? To continue to mold them. See, because, you know, we do have verses, and there some verses are listed here from Jeremiah 18 in this outline. God is the potter, right? He's the potter. He's the one molding. He's the one molding. But saints, to a good extent, the parents are also the potters. Because when the children are entrusted to us, they're not fully molded in their personality. They have something innate. They have something innate. But a person's character is only 25 to 30% from, right, their disposition, from their DNA. And I think many of us, we see that in ourselves now that we've grown up some. And have you ever realized, I'm my father? Or some of you say, I'm just my mom. I didn't want to be my mom. I decided I would not be my mom, but I'm just my mom. My children come to say that already. Both my son and my daughters, people say, you're just your dad. You're just your dad. Of course, that makes me happy. Doesn't make them that happy. But only 30%. 75% is by habit. That means we have much to do to build up the human vessel. But you have a limited amount of time in which to do your job. Because, if you understand me correctly, the clay hardens. As they grow up, not they, as we grow up, the clay hardens. And the older you get, the more difficult it is to change. So while they're so young, there's a lot of work we can be doing. But what's Satan's tactic? To rob them and bring them into his treasury so that he can do the molding. So saints, the vessels. Satan sees this. Satan understands this. And he bases his whole attack on this. Okay, with this as a kind of introduction, now let's come to the outline. Let's read the title first. Of course, our overall title for the whole weekend is Raising Up the Next Generation in the Church Life. But let's read the title to lesson number one. Vessels
unto honor for God's eternal.
Amen. Let's read Romans 1 together, please. Amen. Amen. Number 2 together.
According to the divine economy.
Amen. Let's read through these subpoints. We won't stay on them too long. Alternating, first sisters A, brothers B, and so on, even with the subpoints. Hey, sisters A. Brothers.
Romans 9:21 discloses God's purpose in creating man. We need you to be deeply impressed with the fact that we are God's offspring and that He is our content.
Sisters. Brothers. Amen. Sisters?
We may be one with Him to express what He is, and that He may be glorified
with us and with us. Amen. Point D says, it is not a small matter to be a man. We need to see how glorious, how marvelous it is that we are men.
Amen.
Amen. And we have Psalm 8 here. I think many of us know this, right? The psalmist says, what is man when I consider the stars and the work of your hands? What is man? We seem so small. What is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you visit him. That you visit him. It's a great thing to be a man in God's economy. It is absolutely right. I love this point. It is absolutely right to say that the Bible is a book full of Christ. Yet we can also say that the Bible is a book full of men. Even God himself became a man. Man is the center of God's plan. If the hub, the center of a bicycle wheel, is taken away, the spokes will collapse. Likewise, without man as the center, God's plan would collapse. We are important. But we are important as vessels. As vessels. Romans 3, which is a quotation from the verses in Romans. Let's read together. Does not... Amen. Sisters A, we touched this point a few minutes ago. A. Containers. Amen. Brothers B. Now we've been mentioning this a couple of times already. Mercy, honor, and glory. One, in the initial stage of our experience, the triune God is our mercy. In the progressing stage of our experience, the triune God is our honor. That's today. That's today. Now, of course, we're always vessels of mercy because that's our source. We're always vessels of mercy. And I think every time we come to the Lord's table, we should have a fresh sense. I'm a vessel of mercy. I have no merit to be here at this table. I'm still a vessel of mercy. Always a vessel of mercy. 'Tis mercy all, immense and free. But also a vessel of honor. Why? Because a lot of our living is before mankind. We are social beings, and there's a lot of interaction in our workplace, with our neighbors, in the store. We must be vessels unto honor. Even you don't say anything, people should have a sense. This person. Something about this person. The Lord should be expressed in us in such a way. Even you say nothing, but we carry ourselves in such a way. And it's not too much for our children, particularly those children who've received the Lord, our teenagers, our junior hires, that they would be a young vessel that our teachers say, something about this child impresses them. They're normal. It doesn't mean they're abnormal. But they're a vessel unto honor. That's not too much. Not too much to pray for and even strive for among our children. Three, in the completing stage of our experience, the triune God is our glory. And see, Romans 9 reveals that the climax of our usefulness to God is that we are vessels to contain him and express him. We are his container and his expression. And he is our content and our life. He lives in us that we may live him. Amen. Now let's read 4, which is again another quotation from 2 Timothy. Together. If, therefore, anyone cleanses himself from these, so now we focus a little bit on this word honor. Honor. Let's continue our reading, alternating all the points. Brothers first this time. A, brothers. Amen. 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 When Paul said, flee youthful lusts, of course, in many of our young people's conferences, we use this verse. Flee youthful lusts. What was he saying? Take your vessel away. There's a certain, something's coming to dispense. Take your vessel away. Or, something's coming to smash. Run. Flee. In 1 Corinthians 6, it says, flee fornication. Flee. Sometimes we use Joseph as the example of this. The hammer is coming. The young people don't see the hammer. But we can train them. We can train them to discern the hammer, to see there's something behind this temptation. Protect your vessel. Protect your vessel. You know, right after this is 2 Timothy 2. Right after this, we come to 2 Timothy 3. Please remember that when Paul wrote this letter, he was not writing, oh, well, actually, he didn't write like this, but anyway, he was not, okay, let me write the Bible. Chapter 1. Okay, that's a good ending. Chapter 2, not like this. This was as we write a letter. And the thoughts, different thoughts, but connected, are paragraphs. So when Paul went from chapter 2 to chapter 3, it wasn't with a chapter break. He's just, it's a stream of thought. And also please note that 2 Timothy is very particular in the scriptures. Why? Because it is Paul's final letter. You know this, right? Even though in the sequence of the books in the Bible, there are other books by Paul, like after 2 Timothy is Titus, Philemon, and Hebrews. Of course, Hebrews, we know, doesn't say it was Paul, but we should believe that it was by Paul. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, after. That's in the sequence. That's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and the church fathers to put the sequence of the books in a certain way. And that's sovereign. But the final book Paul wrote was actually this book, 2 Timothy. Because if you read chapter 4, or I would say, if you look at the last paragraph of his letter, he says, Timothy, the time of my departure is at hand. They could walk through the door, open the cell door, and take me to kill me. So he says, come quickly and bring Mark, because he didn't know how much time he had. So actually, all of this letter is with this desperation. All of this writing to this young coworker, whom he considered his spiritual child, is with a kind of desperation, my time is up. And he's pouring everything into young Timothy. I wonder whether he even had in his heart a wonder, will this letter reach Timothy? Will it reach him in time for him to come? So he writes, Timothy, cleanse yourself from some of these vessels. And Timothy, flee youthful lusts. And then just a few sentences later, he says, in the last days, difficult times will come. That is to us, chapter 3. But know this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. And what are those last days? This was a prophecy. At that time, no longer. We are living in the fulfillment of this verse. Know this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be what? Lovers of self. Lovers of money. Boasters, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents. Very interesting that he would put this here. Rank this among so many things. Disobedient to parents. Remember to whom he was speaking. Unthankful. Unthankful. Would you put unthankful with this other, with the other things? Traitors, reckless, slanderers, implacable, no self-control, unthankful. Here you see a few things you can draw from. Paul was concerned all these things will be filling in the last days, filling the vessel. Lovers of self, what is that? Being full of self. Lovers of money. So many things. Damaging the vessel. All these things here, except for the matter of lovers of God, Every one of them is very human, lacking self-control, unthankful, disobedient to parents. The point here is, in the last days, we must pay attention to the proper humanity. And so many things will be intensified against proper humanity. Saints, we need to mold the vessels in this kind of background. This is the environment in which we're raising our children and our grandchildren. We need to intensify our work to mold them in the proper way so that they can possess, so that they know when to say, no, not so fast. And they preserve their vessel. Even they know when to dissociate themselves from the improper vessels. You can see that. Let's come back to Daniel. You can see that in Daniel. Was Daniel not in the worst environment possible? But he possessed his own vessel. He took charge of what would come into him, what would not come into him. He took charge. He also took responsibility for his actions. Because he told the eunuch, Try us. And if it's not, we'll suffer whatever needs to suffer. But he had the faith. He had the faith. And the three brothers, they also the same. When they were thrown into the fiery furnace, he said, our God is able to. But even if he doesn't, we're still not going to. It took responsibility. There's something of that that's still very human. You say, oh, it's faith and the Lord. Yes, it is that too. But there's something very human also. We have to help our children, our next generation, to have the proper virtues in humanity. Then when the treasure comes in, oh, I tell you, the Lord can use those virtues very much in their teenage years and later. But saints, the whole focus is vessels. Let's read the last point on the outline. Point five, together. When God bestows grace on the church, sisters. And for saints, for our children to reach their potential, it matters a lot, our responsibility as parents. Even when they're very young, even from 1 year old, 2 years old, we're shaping the vessel. Shaping the vessel. We want them not to be damaged, but to reach their potential. B says, it is true that we can save men from the world, but there's a greater need for raising up people from among Christian families. We have to expect the second generation, men like Timothy, to come from our own families. We surely treasure anyone who is saved and regenerated. We treasure all the brothers and sisters. And we invest. They have a deposit. But I tell you, for the future, for the church to be rich, depends on our children. Depends on the Timothys among us. And today, saints, we face a greater challenge because this world is such. This world is such. And they are facing things we have to admit we did not face when we were children, when we were teenagers. And we thought it was hard. Many of us, we thought, it's really hard to be a Christian. Can you imagine now? We do need to sympathize with them, but we need to build them up. We need to build them up. Tomorrow, we'll talk more about spending time with them. And particularly, a great burden I have is listening to them. And listening even when they're not talking. To listen, to find out, where are they? And even, what has gotten into them? What did they allow into their vessel that maybe they're not even aware of? We need to have such an ear to hear, to discern, so that we can help them to be a proper vessel. How about we stop here? We still have, is it okay, a few minutes for some response? Maybe 6 or 7 minutes. How about we have some prayers, a few prayers, and then you can have some time to fellowship.